God is good, amen? Amen. Just to give you, if anyone hasn't seen, a quick update on the team that's gone over to Lesotho, which is Rob and Patrice and Penny and my daughter, Erica, my youngest girl. So my oldest girl, my youngest girl, and my granddaughter's there, my son-in-law, and they are having the best time. I just talked to them this morning, actually, on FaceTime, and they're having a great time. This is the third week. They're back next Monday. And they've gone to see the land that we've been given by the Lesotho government to us. And they've gone to see it twice now. We have started a company to be able to receive that land in. Well, a lease of the land. They don't give you the land. It belongs to the king, which belongs to the king above that king, really. And but the king has given it to us. I think we end up with a 90-year lease or something on it for free. And the goal then is we raise money and send our missionaries over, which is Chris and Sheila Dillon, which has been out here speaking. And then starting next year, we bring over work teams to build homes for orphans. And we don't want to build a big orphanage. We don't want to build a big building. We want to build family homes. God loves setting the orphans into families. And our goal is, Rob said, the first track of land, we'd be given two tracks of land. The first one will hold about 30 three-bed houses, between 20 and 30 three-bed houses. And then the other land, he says, Noel, would hold a couple of hundred, the other bit, which is only a 20-minute walk, which is not a lot at all. So our goal is to employ local mams and dads from Lesotho to look after the children. That means their own people is raising their children. And Chris and Sheila will oversee it, and then we'll be bringing teams over from Ireland and elsewhere, that whoever wants to come, to build these houses. And isn't God just so amazing that he allows us to impact his world? That's not just about my life, it's not just about my family, my community, my town or my city or even my nation, that God has, God's heart, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we will be doing this constantly over the next while. You're all invited to come to Lesotho. You're all, and you know what? Penny is 5 years of age, and I was talking to her. I was at a 50th last night. Anna Hoyland, for those who know Anna, was 50 last night. I had a choice to go to a 50th or an 80th. I chose the 50th because at least you're able to get onto the dance floors without the simmer frames being in the way. And I sat down, I talked to a girl that has a young six-year-old, and she was talking about Penny being there. And you know what, Penny being there? Well, I got out of the conversation. Anyone can go that wants to go. A five-year-old can go. And this girl was saying to me, Noel, I would want my child to experience what it is to give to the world at that stage of their life. And there's me as a granddad worrying how she will cope emotionally and all that stuff when she comes back. And then when she turned her on its head, no, we can all give. Kids can adapt better than we can, you know. And so I took all my fears that I was putting on out of it and just said, yeah, you know, we can all go. Even our children at some stage can go and give into the world. And that is a tremendous thing. Over this weekend, we've had some guests in from the States and Australia. Mark Crawford, Mark will come up and do some ministry in a few minutes. And we have another girl in RD Street, and both of them are going to be up in Clondalkin tonight at 6 o'clock if you want to come. And they were just ministering into the whole area on Friday night. Kimberly, who has experienced a loss of her husband through suicide, and we opened up a meeting about suicide the other night, and it was good, powerful, or hard, powerful, you know. It was like the subject, you know, is not like a big uplifting thing, but, and she approached it from the whole view of, let's address this elephant in the room. And she went there, and people that were there that lost loved ones, a man was there that lost his 22-year-old boy in 2014, just came in from the community, and they were so appreciative that we weren't going to push under the carpet, and we shouldn't. And it should be head on. And I was told this, so I have to find out whether this is true, that and it was from Kimberly, that they were told that 400 people died by suicide in Talla last year. And I'm like, hang on a second, this is my city, and I'm being told this by an outsider, someone from another country. And if it's true, If 400 people lost their jobs, it would be on the news. If 400 people lost their homes, rightfully be on the news. And if this is true, there's an epidemic and it's not being addressed in any way. And I'm like, guys, we need to pray. We need to reach out. And Kimberly were saying just simple things. Like, there's a power in saying to someone, how are you doing? That is on that edge. And I'm like, we can all do that. We can all say how you're doing in a genuine way, and especially if we know someone is struggling. And I'm like, the church can shine in this area more than we're shining. We can really shine, and because we're the light, and we know how to love because we've received love. And then yesterday morning, we had just ministry in the prophetic, and it was really, really beneficial and uplifting. And it's happening there. Mark is going to have some ministry in that area, and then tonight in Clondalkin, they're all there. Dr. Jerry Noble, if anyone knows Jerry Noble, he's from the north, and he's lived in Dublin. I know him on my Christian walk. He's going to be there as well, and so it's going to be good. Amen. God is good. We're going to have a good time this morning. And I felt a couple of things just to share before I introduce Mark. I was at a great wedding a couple of weeks ago of the lovely Lorraine Mason, now Lorraine Kelly. And give her up for Lorraine. She's back from her honeymoon. And it was a lovely day and a lovely evening. And that rock band you had rocked the show, okay? They rocked the show. And it was a great day, and the Bible talks about marriage, and this is what it says in Revelations. It says, then one of these seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the plagues, said, come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Ephesians tells us about the whole mystery of marriage. And at a wedding, and this, I feel to share some of this, what is it about a marriage? What is it about wanting to be together with somebody? The whole basis of our existence is about attachment. And we are invited to be the bride of Christ, to be attached to him. And marriage is an expression of that to the world. But not only marriage, but there's a longing in all of us to be attached to something. To be, whether it's to a gang, a certain political party, friends, to power, attachments to all types of things. And some areas we're attached to the wrong things. And I believe this morning that God just wants to break some wrong attachments off of our lives. Things that we may have made vows to, promises, attachment to wrong promises. I'll never allow that happen to me again. And I shut myself off from love and tenderness, even though it might have a risk of being hurt again. Attachment to I just want to be rich, and that's my idol, is a wrong attachment. The Bible says if you attach yourself to Jesus, seek him first, everything you need will be added on. And people that we may have attached ourselves with, organizations that we may have attached ourselves with, that God wants to break them so that we have a full attachment to the groom, which is Jesus. And being married is like, and being attached to Jesus, he takes responsibility for his bride. He takes responsibility of making sure that our spots and blemishes are healed, are dealt with, that we're released from. He has a commitment like a husband is supposed to cover his wife, that Jesus has made a commitment to cover you and me, that he will cover you with his protection. He will cover you with his provision. Have you ever seen that part in the story of Ruth when she sees Boaz, and one of the evenings she goes in and he's asleep, and she goes in and she lays at his feet and pulls the blanket over. And it's a sign. Boaz is a type of Jesus. And what the scripture's showing that there's covering in the cold air in the night. There's covering and protection with the kinsman redeemer. And not only that, but it says the next day she came out with, next morning she got up and she left with a bowl or a bag of wheat. That there's provision in the covering. And sometimes we can attach ourselves to all the wrong things and still not be covered. In fact, some wrong attachments exposes us to more hurt and more pain and more shame and more poverty. Not only does he cover us with his protection and his provision, but there's a free flow of his love and his grace to us. And not only is it something that he wants to break us from, but there's attachments he wants us to heal the fractures in them. Things that have fractured relationships, that has fractured. His role is to bring reconciliation. It's to bring things that are torn apart that are meant to be together, back together, if that's what he wants. And then there's other areas where he's saying, I need to cut this off for you to move on. And I believe that God wants that for you and I this morning. There's things that we know of that we're like, how come I keep being plagued with that? The attachment has to be broken. How come I'm being tormented with that? The attachment has to be broken. And if it needs to be put back together, there's no better God. There's no better God. He's able to make all things beautiful in his time, in his way. And it's not a contract, this attachment to him. This attachment, like marriage, never was meant to be a contract. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Because we fail in that. I'll scratch your back as long as you scratch mine as a contract. As long as you do this, I will continue to do that. But if you ever break it, that's it. It's not about a contract. It's about a covenant. It's about something that has been signed, sealed, and delivered with the blood of the Lamb. For the wife of the Lamb. The bride of the Lamb. It's not like the covenant is, a contract is if you fail, you're out of here. A covenant is if you fail, I'll pick you up. A contract is we'll walk together. And if you ever stop failing to walk with me, I'll just go ahead of you. Covenant is I'll walk an extra mile, an extra mile. And if you still can't get there, I'll pick you up and carry you the extra mile. That's covenant. And his commitment to the attachment to your and my life is the covenant. Everlasting covenant. A covenant that won't be broken because it wasn't made with you and God. It was made with God and God. Jesus fully God on the cross and God the Father. So the covenant can never be broken. Because it was, there's the genius of God in the covenant. So it's not a contract that you go, I'm after blowing it, there you go, I might as well attach myself to the old again. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. His love for you and me is everlasting. His joy in us is everlasting. So here's what I want to do as a way of ministry. So if the Holy Spirit, or you know, just in your own way, or the Holy Spirit is quickened to you, I need to break some attachment and I need to even acknowledge it before God, not before man. To whatever it is, wrong attachment. Even vows that you made when you were younger. God wants to bring them up to cut them off today. I'm going to pray a prayer of breaking it off. But in the way of you acknowledging and stepping out before God, you want to stand up and say, yeah. You stand up saying, yeah, I need just a severing in this in an area. I don't want to know the area. Quickly stand up. I need to be detached from something. Just stand up. Well done. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Any attachment that you've had to any occultic thing, he wants to break the power of that today. We love you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we just invite you into every one of these areas, oh God. Say, yes, Jesus, come in. As the one that we're supposed to be attached to fully. These are the attachments trying to pull us away from you, Lord. So today, Father, in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I cut them off. I break their authority, their power, their legal right over lives, Father, today in the name of Jesus. I remove you from that place. I remove you from that attachment. That the bond is broken in the name of Jesus, and I release you to receive from the flow of his life, from the flow of being attached to Jesus. I release over your life the provision and protection of Jesus, your husbandman, your kinsman redeemer, your savior, your provider. I release the flow of God into that area so that you can move on away from that which you are attached to. And I pray for every one of us, oh God, that where there's been some severance of attachment, for whatever reason, oh God, I pray for a reconciliation moment, situation, a reconciliation heart to be in, Lord, any estrangement, especially in marriage, oh God. I speak over every marriage what God has put together. Let no man put asunder. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, for a coming together. I pray, Father, for a reasoning. I pray, Father, for a humble heart, O God. I pray, Father, for an impartation of the art of forgiveness. That there's a sitting down going to happen. In Jesus' name. If you could just lift your hand up, I put them out. Just want to release just the flow from who you're attached to. Into your heart, into your life, into your circumstance, into your situation. Thank you for the covenant, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you don't deal with us our contract, O God. You deal with us our heart covenant, O God. And I release the flow of every benefit, every riches, every part of our inheritance that we're not receiving from, I release it in the name of Jesus, O God. The provision from being attached to him, I release it. The protection that is ours because we're attached to Jesus, I release it, Lord. The door that needs to be opened will open because you're attached to him. The prayer that needs to be answered will be answered because you're attached to him. The things that you need to see in the spirit is yours because you're attached to him. Being lifted up to elevated places is yours because you've been attached to him. And you are attached to him. And I release that flow in the name of Jesus. And we receive it, Lord. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Mark Crawford, I only met him the other day. He's a bit crazy. He's from Australia. I met Mark the other day, and it's been a privilege, brother. I don't know about you, and I just need to say this out loud because I said it in other locations. But a guy from Brad that was here a couple of weeks ago said to me, Noel, Do you acknowledge or do you know the quality of people that God is just pouring into you as our lives in liberty? And I knew it, but I'd never acknowledged it. And it's like Bethel was in, Ray Hughes was in. He knew more than I knew. Machine Gun Preacher was in. And that's just because it's Sunday morning. Do you know what I mean? I was at 50 last night. I can't think of anything else. No. But he was naming all these people. And he says, no, we can't get them in America. And yet God seems to be directing them towards liberty. And I just want to acknowledge that. And I just want to acknowledge that God has given us another quality man of God and in Kimberly woman of God. That I don't know about you. This is what I look for in people. I turn 50 at Christmas. Maybe it's because of me eyesight. I don't look for shiny, happy preachers and pastors and all that stuff. I don't look for the slick Rick. I want battle scars. I want people that have been through it and come out the other side with their joy still and still loving God. I don't care how great they are, how big their church is. That doesn't impress me. And I wouldn't release any shiny, slick Ricks on our church. I look for scars. They still got that joy. They still love God. Are they real? Are they allowing God into the real dirt of their lives and our lives? And when I see that, I go, now I trust you with my people. And I've seen that in Mark. And I only know him 3 days. And that's how open and vulnerable and given that he's been. And with that, this is who I hand the meeting over to. This is Mark Crawford from Australia. Let's give him a big Australian welcome. Let's give him a big Australian welcome.
Wow, good day. You do a better job than the Americans. So this is my first visit to Ireland. And actually, I've really quite felt at home. In 1980, I lived in the UK for a little while. Never had the opportunity to come here. Probably wasn't a good idea in 1980 for me to be here. Didn't work. But it's really good. I've really quite liked it. It's probably because we have so many Irish ancestors, in Australia, courtesy to the British, because they transported a lot of Irish, and so it's really common to have names like O'Rourke and O'Brien. My pastor of the church that I'm a part of, I've been a pastor in the city, but these days I'm in another church, and our pastor is Tim O'Neill. So we have my previous associate was a Kenny, and so we have lots of influence. There's Irish pubs in the city, and all that sort of stuff. So my sister did Irish dancing. My sister did Irish dancing, and I got to learn to play the bagpipes. That was my parents' idea. It reminds me of a story I'll just quickly tell you about this guy who was a bagpiper, and he was asked by this funeral director to play at the graveside of a service for a homeless guy. It was in a sort of like a pauper's cemetery way out the back of somewhere, and this guy, this piper who often did funerals and all sorts of things like that, went looking for this pauper cemetery in the back Blackwoods, and he got lost. And apparently, being a typical man, he didn't stop for directions. He kept looking, and he finally found this place. He arrived an hour late. He saw that the funeral guy had gone, and there was no hearse there, and there was really nowhere inside, except he saw a few diggers and a crew left, and they were sitting down, they were eating their lunch. So he felt really bad that he'd turned up late, and so he goes over and he apologizes to the men, and he went to the side of the grave and he looked down, and the vault lid was already in place. He didn't know what else to do, so he got his bagpipes out and he started to play. And the workers put down their lunches and they began to gather around, and he played just as all that was in his heart, he played. and all that was in his soul for this man who had no family and no friends. He played like he'd never played before for this homeless man, and he played Amazing Grace. And the workers began to cry, and he wept, and they wept, and they all wept together. And when he'd finished, packed up his bagpipes, and he started for his car. And though he was really sad that he'd arrived late and missed the service, his heart was full that he thought he'd really played for this homeless man. And as he was opening the car to the door, he heard one of the workers say, "I've never seen nothing like this before. And I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years." the right thing in the wrong place. the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, one of the things that I wanted to share with you this morning, I shared it a bit yesterday, and I just want to head this way for a little bit. Yesterday morning we were teaching on the prophetic, and the Lord had been showing me something as I came to this nation. So I have this, my gifting is apostolic prophetic, and so I have this prophetic bent to my life, part of my life. I teach the prophetic. I teach people how to prophesy, and all those sorts of things. I started my life in law. And then in 1993, I pastored my first church and the second church and then led a movement of churches. And these days, I operate as a consultant to business. We do some development work in the Philippines. But yesterday, while we're in it, I heard a song that was famous in Australia. It was an Australian singer, and I heard the song. And I felt like the Lord saying that the song was for Ireland. Even though it was sang back in the 90s, it was a song for you. It was like it was written for you. And it was a prophetic song, a very secular song, but a very prophetic song for you. And when you understand, and I don't know a lot of your history, but I know a little bit of your history. And I know that way, way back, a lot of the people who found their way to Australia found their way from Ireland, courtesy of the English, as prisoners. And they were sent, many of them were sent for sedition. And sedition, so they became labeled as seditionists, but sedition was that you spoke out. It wasn't treason, it was that you even dared to speak out against the ruling authorities, that you spoke out against injustice, you spoke out against the things that weren't right, and for that you got transported to the other side of the world. It's pretty tough, isn't it? But think about that. What was that about? Shutting down the voice. Shutting down the voice of the people. So the enemy will always attack the very thing that's the destiny of a nation or people's lives. So the enemy tries to shut down people, right? He shut down them, stop them from stepping into who God has called them to be and what God has called them to be. So I believe that this nation is meant to be a voice, to be a prophetic voice to the world, right? Not the only ones, but a prophetic voice. One of the things that I notice, and I probably notice this maybe more than you, because I'm not part of here, and so when I hear Irish songs, when I hear Irish worship songs, when I hear you sing, when I hear things come, I hear a strength of song, no matter what song it is, but I hear a strength. It's almost like a declaration. It's almost like a warfare song, right? Whatever song you're singing, I hear a strength in it. It's almost like a militant song, and I don't mean that in the wrong sense. I mean that in a sense that it's like the scripture says the kingdom of God advances, and it's the forceful who take it because you have to fight. And so this is the song that I want to declare to you. It's called The Voice. We have the chance to turn the pages over. We can write what we want to write. We got to make ends meet before we get much older. We're all someone's daughter. We're all someone's son. How long can we look at each other down the barrel of a gun? You're the voice. Try and understand it. Make a noise and make it clear. We're not going to sit in silence. We're not going to live with fear. This time, we know we can all stand together with the power to be powerful, believing we can make it better. I mean, maybe I could just say amen and sit down. Because, you know, there is a voice. There's a voice that needs to arise. And you all have a voice. But you've been shut up. You've been shut down. And so it's time for the people of Ireland, the Christians of Ireland, the people of this nation to begin to stand and speak the prophetic voice, the voice that God has for the nations. And I know that there is all sorts of things happening in all sorts of places in the world. You know, sin abounds, and that's going to happen, but grace abounds even more. So what the enemy's doing, God's doing greater. I've never seen so many people get healed in the last 12 months. I hear testimonies. I've seen miraculous things. I saw this little boy in the Philippines just a few weeks ago who was found sleeping in the gutter. He had been abused by the people because he was deaf and dumb. Couldn't hear, couldn't speak. And he was taken in by a group called Miracle Central. That should be a clue to you. And he was taken into this group of people, and he still couldn't speak and talk, but he was cleaned up. He was given a place to stay, and he was given some work and food. And he had this happy look on his face. He was just so full of joy, and he couldn't hear and couldn't speak. So I had a team, and so we laid hands on him, and we prayed for him, and he spoke his first words. He spoke his first words, and I watched this boy as one of my team members started to sing in his ears, and tears are running down his face, and he's going to the music. He's hearing. He's hearing, and he's speaking for the first time. I mean, I've heard the stories like that, but I'm seeing things. We're seeing things that we've never seen before. And you know, our best days are still ahead of us. I want to just take that real quickly and just speak to you a couple of things. Something really simple, but something profound. Something that I think is going to help you to start to shake off some of the attachments that Noel talked about. Some of the ways of just looking at it from a different perspective. So I want to just really quickly talk about this, show you a couple of things in the Bible and give you a personal understanding about it. I want to tell you that there's a difference between facts and truth. I want to tell you that there's a difference between facts and truth, but yet all around about us, people would tell us the same thing. I was a prosecutor, and so doing a trial, we would have people witnesses swear, and they would say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God? And I've just heard that so many times. What we should really be saying was, do you swear to tell the facts, the whole facts, and nothing but the facts? Because the facts and the truth are not the same thing. Now, there is a significant challenge that you may be just going ouch inside and saying, no, it's not, they're the same thing. Let me explain to you why they're different. See, faith is not denying the facts, it's just not giving them authority. See, truth is a person. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is a person. So you can have the facts. You can have whatever facts are there. And they exist. I mean, I've seen some Pentecostal people around the place or people around the place who think that if you deny the facts, then you're a person of faith. You know, so they're really sick and you say, oh, you know, you're not looking very well. It's like, I'm healed. It's like, no, you look really sick. No, I am healed. No, you look really Not, well, you want to go to bed. No, I'm healed. And it's like, you're stupid. Like, you are, you're sick. It doesn't make you any more great man or woman of faith because you deny the facts. That's stupid. Everybody look at that and say, you're crazy, you're dumb. Look, the facts exist, but there's a higher realm. And the realm is what heaven has to say about the facts. See, there's a few, scriptures. There's this story. Simon Peter's been out fishing, and he's fished all night. Now, he's a fisherman. He's a really good fisherman, and he's gone out, and he's been out on the sea, and he's fished all night. He's toiled all night, gone fishing, did all of his tricks, used all of his different places, gone to all of his favorite fishing places, and he comes back in, and he's caught nothing. Zilch. Zero. Nothing. Not even a sardine. And then Jesus wanders along and hops into his boat and starts preaching. And he says to Simon Peter, let's go fishing. Let's push out into the fish. And Simon Peter says, hey, I've fished all night. I'm the fisherman. I know this. I've caught nothing. Why, we're not going to go fishing now. And Jesus says, come on, let's go out and fish. And he says these words, nevertheless, at your word. You see, the facts were no fish. Been fishing, exhausted, tired. That's the facts. But along comes truth, and truth says, no, it's time to go fishing now. So they push out, and of course, the rest is history. Stacks of fish. So much so they have to call another boat in, and they've got fish. But he's fished all night and caught nothing. But at the word of the Lord, at the word of heaven, heaven's perspective on the truth, he goes fishing again. See how much important it is to understand there are facts and then there is truth. And truth is what heaven has to say about the facts. If you get this morning, if you get hold of this, it's going to save you a whole lot of problems. It's going to help you to be able to see things from the perspective that's different in life. It's going to take you out of a place where you're going to not understand God and understand what's happening in life. No, there are the facts. The facts exist. The facts are the facts. But then there's truth. It's what heaven has to say about the facts. Now, there's another story that I'll tell you. It's one of my favorite accounts. In fact, when I get into eternity, I want to get the DVD of this. I want to see this miraculous thing because it just has something that amazes me. And it's a feeding of the 5,000. Actually, it was more like 20,000 because it was 5,000 men. Plus women and children. So it's more like about 20,000. So you have 20,000 people. And the disciples say to Jesus, look, they're hungry. Let's send them home. Because they want to have an early night. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. So, they're having a little bit of a discussion and talking about it. And I said, look, what are we going to do? Tesco's is closed. Where are we going to get enough food? And Jesus says, oh, guys, you haven't learned yet. Listen, go and find some food and we'll use that. So they find little boy's lunch, 5 little loaves, 2 fish. Now, this is the facts. 20,000 people, very hungry, and the food. Like, it doesn't stack up. That's why I want to get the DVD of it. Because it's like, I can imagine, you've got 7 bits of food, you've got 12 disciples, so they take a little bit, and I don't know what they did, because, they may have got them, as it says in some, got them into groups or whatever, but anyway, they start giving out the food. Now, if it was me, I'd be looking at the food that I got in my hand and thinking, well, this is not going to take very long. But they started to give out. This is the facts. They started to give. But what happened is Jesus had taken it and he'd prayed and he'd released the truth of heaven. He'd released the abundance of heaven into it. And when they gave out, everybody got fed. They were stuffed full and there's 12 big basketfuls left over. Like, it doesn't make sense. Now, if you may be thinking, okay, well, that was back in there. Let me tell you. We had a team just about a month ago go into the Philippines, into a village. They went into this village. We had been there just a few days before. This was the next team that came in, and they were doing children's ministry. They'd put together 100 bags of gifts and all sorts of things because that's the number they told would be there, the maximum number. When they got there, there's 125. There's 125 kids going to miss out. So they took hold of all that and they prayed over it and said, God, we don't want any kid to miss out. We want, et cetera, et cetera. And they prayed over the bags. There was exactly 100. They knew the number. And they counted the kids. They knew the number. And they gave them out and they kept giving them out until every single child had a bag and there was 5 bags left over. See, the facts. If you just look at the facts, you're going to head into doubt. You're going to head into fear. You're going to head into all sorts of things. This is the facts. This is the facts of what exists. But heaven sees it from a different point, and it's called truth. Let me just give you one little, real quick illustration. 5 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with MS, and which is really, it's a really debilitating disease. We had words. I had a word of the Lord really clearly. He was going to heal her, right? He told me really clearly. It wasn't just like, oh, well, that's what you do. It was, he told me. And so we took hold of that word, and we began to, we had prayer. We had all places. I mean, senior leadership in Australia, it's like a lot of people who came and laid hands on all of those sorts of things. We went all sorts of places, laid hands, and she got worse. And she got worse. And she got worse and worse and worse to the fact that she's on a walking stick, looking at almost going to be in a wheelchair. She's going to have to give up work and you know, she keeps me in the manner that I'm used to. And it's like, God, what are you going to do? Because he kept telling us of new things that we're to step into. So we began to understand this concept of facts and truth. So I'm not just telling you something that's just a nice idea. We began to understand there's a difference between the facts. These are the facts. This is what it's looking at. But this is what heaven says. This is what heaven says about the facts. So we started to partner with the truth and not so much the facts. We had to still deal with the facts. So we began to say, okay, God, what do we have to do? What things do we need to understand? What things do we need to put into place? And so we started to work on diet, change diet. We started to bring in large doses of vitamin D and flaxseed oil and all sorts of things that we did the research and we began to understand works. Today, she doesn't need a walking stick. Even just from 12 months ago, she doesn't work on a walking stick. I'm traveling away. She's looking after the place. In fact, in September, we're going to travel together for the first time in 5 years to the U.S., for a month, and she's going to be able to handle that. She's really excited about it. She hadn't been interested in traveling at all because she just couldn't do anything very much. She could hardly walk. She could hardly even walk to get on the plane. Now it's different. Why? Because we started to agree with the truth. You see, the Bible says you shall know the facts and the facts shall make you free. Is that right? No, it's not. It says you shall know the truth and the truth will bring freedom to you. The truth is what we're in. What? The truth is a person. It's how God sees your situation, how he sees the facts of your life, how he sees your bank account, how he sees the challenges that you face. It's how heaven sees it, and it's really important to partner with the truth. Come into agreement with the truth, to be able to see it, how God sees the facts of your situation, how he sees the facts of your nation. That's why prophecy is so very important. The gift of prophecy is really important because that's heaven's perspective on your life. That's heaven's perspective on your situation. And all it takes is for you to realize there's a distinction between facts and truth and to start asking, what's the facts? How do you see my life? How do you see my situation? How do you see the sickness that it? How do you see my situation? And even begin to partner with that. It will make a lot of difference. See, Simon Peter got the catch of his lifetime. I reckon that all of that fish funded the rest of his ministry. all of those people got fed because why? They partnered with truth. They didn't let the facts determine. If you live by facts, you'll often live out of doubt. You'll often live in a place where you can't see there's any hope. You can't see there's any future. I want to tell you, for every single person here today, your best days are still ahead of you. The best days of this country are still ahead of it. You ain't seen anything yet. That's what 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things that God has got for you, every one of you. Best days are still ahead. The greatest things are still to happen. It's not rhetoric, it's not just a pump up, it's truth. That's truth's important. Truth and knowing the truth will set you free. Let's pray. Why don't you just take your hands and just lay them on your body somewhere? Okay? I really believe in laying on of hands, and you can lay hands on you. Father, I speak over every person here. I speak that they will walk from this place with a revelation of what we've just been talking about. It'll be in them. It'll be imparted to them, the distinction and the difference between facts and truth. There'll be people here today who will have such a burning desire and understanding to seek for the truth. How does Jesus, how does heaven see the circumstances that you find yourself in? Father, like a key, I put it into the lock on people's lives today and turn the key, Father, that will bring forth answers, that will bring forth change, that will bring forth understanding, Father, that facilitates the change. Those people that stood this morning and were set free from the attachments that they were a part of, I speak into their lives today that heaven itself will bring into them new attachments, attachments to heaven, attachments to their future and destiny. I speak over this place and I speak to every person's destiny, destinies that have been obstructed, destinies that have been locked up, destinies that have been in any way, shape or form prevented from operating. You will start today, you will start to step into the destinies and callings that God has for you, the plans He has for you. You will step into those today, that you will have an attachment to the truth, that you will see things from a different perspective. You'll walk out of here today and you'll see things from a different perspective. You'll see things from a different light. You'll see things from a different understanding, and things will make sense to you. As I release a spirit of revelation, wisdom, and understanding into your lives right now, in the name of Jesus, in His name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. It's been really great to be here, and thanks for being such a welcome. I look forward to seeing you on another visit. Over to you, Noel.
Amen. On time. On point as well. On time. That's good, isn't it? Truth and truth and. My goodness, I get tripped up with facts. Do you? Yeah. Let's stand as we get sent out of this place. You know, yesterday I had a word about, I had an awful pain in my hand, like in my left hand, and it was all, there was pains in my joints of my fingers, like, and right up my fingers and in my knuckles, and I was like, Lord, what is that? And I felt, I'd imagine what arthritis was like. So I was asking the Lord what it was, and then Mark and Kimberly prayed for me. Oof, I've got pins and needles in there. Mark and Kimberly prayed for me, and they said one of the things that the Lord really wanted to use me in was bringing healing to the body of Christ. And And then, but just prior to that, I had all these pains in my fingers, and I was like, wow. And then within moments, a download from heaven of the body of Christ's hands being crippled. Hands are very important, aren't they? They're very important to God. Laying on of hands to see the healing of the sick. Giving. Receiving. Embracing. Taking hold of. Taking hold of the future. I had a guy I played football with. I met him recent years, and he's been a roofer all his life, and he's arthritis in his hands, and like honestly, if you can see my hands, like this is the way he's left, like that, and he's climbing up his ladder, and he's trying to hold his hammer, and he's obviously has found a way of doing that, but it wasn't natural, and believe it or not. For years, there's one thing I hate to see in a person, and it's usually women that I mostly would see, and more than men. I think it's arthritis in the hands, and I've said it for years. I hate that thing. And yesterday I had this pain, and when they prayed about the body, I realized that this was for the body, that God wants to heal the joints. And Dr. Jerry Noble is part of this team. I've known Jerry for 27 years, and he got up and he says, arthritis is something to do with the immune system, but it's the body attacking the body. I'm like, wow. There's understanding in the natural for what's in the spiritual. And I just prayed a prayer, and I want to pray. I prayed yesterday. I want to pray here that God would just clean out our joints. He would stop us turning in on ourselves and the body. Hurting itself, attacking itself to the place of being crippled. It's like, wow. And all that we're supposed to be taking hold of, it's just out of our grasp, or we can't take hold of. We nearly have it, but it slips through our stiffened, mangled hand. So in the name of Jesus, first of all, Father, I ask you to release healing into the body, into us here. Healing of pains and disappointments, hurts, hang-ups, habits. You'd pour in healing oil. And in the name of Jesus, I speak to them places that are crippled. Be well right now. Receive health. Receive wholeness. Receive forgiveness. Receive the benefits of the blood of Jesus into every area of anger and disappointment and unforgiveness that makes it in the end turn around to eat yourself and to eat others. I break attachment, Lord, as a church to anything in our past, oh God, that would keep us, Lord, crippled in the hand so that Lord, that we're not able to receive what you have for us or give what we need to give, Lord. We release healing. We ask for healing. We release it, Father. I speak to those areas that your reign is coming to an end, that your stiffening of these hands are coming to an end. In the name of Jesus, I end it today. Release healing, oh God. I release future. I release destiny. I release ministry. I release finances, Lord. I release prosperity. I release the arms to be able to embrace. Bray. Dublin, the city, the nation. No more inward fighting against yourself. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. You're forgiven.
Yeah.
Receive the benefits of his forgiveness.
Yeah.
And a release power for you to forgive yourself and others. Whole hands, functioning hands, powerful hands, loving hands, gathering hands. Just put your hands out in front of you. Here, receive. Just receive wholeness. If you're struggling with arthritis, release healing into them hands right now in the name of Jesus. There'll be a manifestation in the physical of that which's happening in the spiritual. Just move your hand. Any arthritic pain at all there, just start moving it, just release it, move your joints. Because see, I haven't got that pain. I had it yesterday, I haven't got it. Because I released the healing of it into the body. It's gone, my hands are full. Yesterday I couldn't do that. It was hurting me, really hurting me. Arthritis, go from this body. In the name of Jesus, I release you. Could you please, don't freak out. Just put your hand on someone's shoulder beside you. Just release blessing. If you don't know what to say, just pray this prayer. I release blessing over this person. Just release. See, laying your hands off. Laying your hands off. That's the truth. Laying your hands brings blessing. It's impartation. It's a release mechanism. It's an activation mechanism in the Bible. That's what it says. Clap your hands. Lay hands on the sick. All the stuff to do with the hands. Just pray. God knows your prayer. God knows. God will honor your prayer. You're releasing. You're saying by putting your hands on that shoulder, no, there's no crippled in this. There's no arthritic pain in this. There's no stoppage in this hand. There's no restriction in this hand. I'm laying hands on to release the fullness of what God has for my brother or my sister. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord. Healing, Lord, release, Lord, of giftings, oh God. Father, releasing of comfort, Lord. Releasing of mercy, Lord. Father, the releasing, the flow, Father God, out of the river that's in us, Lord. Let it flow through the hands, Lord, to the person beside us, Lord. And everywhere the river touches, it brings healing. Everywhere it touches. So we release healing. Body, mind, soul. Emotions. Wholeness. Completeness. For Jesus' glory. And I send us out as Liberty Bray. Into the town, into our respective places, to shine on our spot. To be the church of Jesus, to be priests of God. Bringing the blessing of God, the love of God, the message of God to where you find yourself this week. A home with children in the community, in the workplace. I release you to be the blessing of God. And all the people said, amen. Guys, can I remind you that we have a book here, a book stand here of